Welcome back. Top of the second hour. This Wednesday, December 27th, 2017. And we're on the phones. We have Dave in Wisconsin online. And Dave, you said a mouthful. I'm reminded, you know, we have discussions sort of in the context of my opening point. What's the my opening question? What's the point? I'm reminded of the book, The First Global Revolution, a report by the Council of the Club of Rome, and the remark that from page 244 of the 1991 edition, elites everywhere reconcile easily despite the surface controversy. The general public is not involved, only manipulated in debates of this type. The gulf between elite thinking and thinking at a popular level is enormous. Here is where we find distortions and tensions difficult or even impossible to resolve. And so one of the operative concepts I come away with is that we can't seem to agree on anything at the what is referred to as the popular level. And that's obviously engineered. It's a manufactured tension to keep people busy and distracted. And if we think our lives are busy and distracted now, wait until artificial intelligence comes fully online and is able to target everyone individually in a way heretofore never really imagined by just about everyone except for the ne'er-do-wells who employ this kind of nonsense. Anyway, so let me see if I can comment on some of the things that you said. The liberty aspect, I completely agree with. There is no such thing. I think it's unfortunate that you have to refer to it as genuine Christianity. I think maybe we should just be able to say Christianity, and what is inauthentic or counterfeit should be called such, which reminds me of food. You know, food is now referred to as something else, organic or this free or that free or whatever. Food should just be food. What's not food should be called not food. Maybe we should just label it not food and have – that was interesting. An aside on that, the marijuana labeling is now coming under fire because, you know, it has pesticides. It's laced with different things. But we can do that in vastly greater quantities to so-called food, and that's okay. There's no – controversy on mainstream media about that, which is just bizarre. Anyway, your your point about liberty is, I would say, well observed. And as you and I know, there is no true liberty apart from Christ. James chapter 1 and chapter 2, the way that James put it, James 1:25, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, what is the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does, which kind of gets back to the point I was making at the top of the first hour. And James 2:12, so speak and so act as though as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. So what is the law of liberty? And backing up a little bit, I mentioned Galatians 2 earlier. In all of this, I'm reminded of that. Galatians 2:4, Paul says, but it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage, which kind of feels like America. You know, we're going to separate, everything's going to be great, except we have these Judaizers who sneak in and try to enslave everyone once again, steal their liberty in Christ. And of course, there's 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the reminder, I call it like a Romans 14 kind of reminder, 1 Corinthians 8:9, but take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. That's important.
Good, hey, and, good points, one and all. Good points, one and all, Chris. All right, now, in terms
there's,
of the...
There's one more passage. The most notable is probably Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners. This is where the message of liberty and freedom comes from. And so, like you said, as you pointed out, and I almost feel like that doesn't need to be stated, because, I mean, I mentioned at the top of the first hour, it's no secret, really, that my secret desire, my heart's desire, is not only to enlighten the people generally, but more importantly, that hearts be drawn, either initially or back, to the Lord. And as we know, I mean, what we're talking about were, I think, foundational precepts back when, you know, guys like Noah Webster were doing what they were doing. And this is, once you start, you know, even if you just read the Bible as an instructional tool, you can't help but be blessed by it, I would say, if I dare say. And then eventually, hopefully, you get the secret decoder ring from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You invite the Holy Spirit into that investigation, because it doesn't make sense without the Holy Spirit. And then you really start to see what's going on. And then you see, as you pointed out, that liberty and Christ are inseparable, truly. And so there is no liberty apart from Christ. We're either slaves to Christ or slaves to sin. Right?
And reading the Bible for instructional purposes, and as you use the term secret decoder ring for that verse in Corinthians, the entire 1828 Webster's Dictionary, which everyone should own a copy in their home, even though it's very expensive, is actually a testimonial, because it throughout the 1828 Webster's, there are Bible references in there to the definitions of the words, which make understanding what someone is saying in any given sentence more comprehensive. So it's extraordinary in being helpful that way. But one last point is, all right, the doers of the word, all right, I want to point to an article I just read this morning, and I want to just say that I hope other people would look at this article with a pure heart, not to overreact about Somali immigrants or anything, or Muslims, but to take a good close look at this and see how, and read this. It's called U.S. Woman Stabbed 14 Times by Somali Migrant, Media Go Dark. So the media is falling down on this, and this is consistent for a very long time in terms of the bending over backwards for when serious criminal activity is being precipitated by Somalians in Minnesota, especially Detroit. I guess is a there's a quite a bit of that there. But what is my responsibility as a doer of the word to bring to other people's attention that this young lady on her way home from work, Morgan Evenson, was stabbed 14 times, and this attacker is on the loose yet. Now, John Stadtmiller has pleasant conversations with a gentleman that calls in frequently from Minneapolis named Muhammad. Perhaps he could convince Muhammad to go out and investigate a little bit, him and some of his friends, as they, by the implication of his name, he is quite possibly a Muslim and could possibly bring this man to justice that perpetrated this violent attack against this woman. I certainly wouldn't know what to do further than that, other than to try to come up with an idea such as I have.
Well, I commend you for even proposing something, and I think that's... I think it's important if things are to change, which gets back to the two questions that I asked in the first hour. A few things real quick. First, on the kind of backing into the other stuff, the Bronx woman. No, that was a different story. You're talking about the new one. This story, WND WorldNet Daily and some others are reporting the story that you're talking about, Morgan Evenson stabbed 14 times by a Somali man, which, by the way, is kind of a common theme, which is why I mentioned the story from October of last year. There, we hear about this every once in a while. I can think of a few stories that I can't put my finger on right now that are the same. And WorldNet Daily, by the way, and Joseph Farah and company are CNP folks that are the, you know, that side of the whole Zionism versus political Islam equals World War III discussion. And so I don't think that can be overstated. That's part of, that's sort of an ideological trap, basically, to draw people in.
That can't be overstated. That warning is really important because his reporting and his articles are very one-sided. But if this is factual, all right, if this woman was not a troublemaker that was out and on drugs and drunk or whatever and started yelling at someone and provoked an attack, right. I think that should be ascertained very, you know, very factually and very unemotionally, because obviously, under what you said about the Joseph Farah reporting, is that's an important factor of it. But it is also an important factor that these crimes, for example, Lee Rigby, all right, over right in London, all right, right something like three blocks away from where his barracks were, and he had his head cut off by Muslims. This cannot go on underreported either, and
I agree.
As you say, it's pitting those two forces, and it takes the voice of Christian reason to come in the conversation and go, okay, we should all step up our efforts in whatever capacity we can to be crime prevention people with a good heart about it, without becoming gunslingers and so forth. You know, because
right.
it's really quite a struggle. It's quite a struggle to understand how the most devious people in the world are trying to orchestrate the concert into World War III. And I'm sure that you, especially you and a few others, are just really causing them to have sleepless nights, because you exercise this proper caution about not becoming prejudicial against Muslims, especially, and so they have to be going, what do we do with this guy? Because he's so decent and polite, and he's going, no, don't jump to conclusions about this. Do the investigation, do the studying, and when something arises that is very serious, okay, then look at it carefully, and then back up, take a couple of breaths, look at it carefully, read some scriptures, stay grounded in the scriptures, and discover the truth. And that is, as you said, Patrick Henry's method of operation in crime prevention. And when the Constitution was ratified, that's when we started gradually and incrementally getting folded back under the power and authority of the British Crown, which is sad, because yeah. there was that interim of freedom from 1775 until 1789. But that's a little off topic from this issue, and there's no doubt there is an effort within the worldwide effort for imposing Islam, or naturalism would be another word for it. Their color is green, and the war planners, the psychopathic British war planners, and their prince and their queen, they have embraced Islam. Everyone should read an article called Prince Charles of Arabia to get their feet on the ground with that. So that's why I use the term genuine Christians, because they are apostate, hardcore apostate Christian haters now, as they pretend to be so nicey-wicey Christians. And they have essentially subsumed the Roman Catholic system under their power and authority, even though the white monkey says a few things that are not too bizarre from time to time, but most of it is just a big sideshow that I'm sure is well orchestrated behind the scenes. And regarding the Jews, I think the one great thing that the Roman Catholics did think through, it was a document that dealt with the Jewish issue of how to function, in that the Jewish people were always understood and known to be people that wanted to claim and have this authority, and it's called Sicut Judaeus Non, and it deals with that issue better than any other intellectual movement, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, I've gobbled up all kinds of time, and I tried to hold back from even mentioning Gary's name, but I'm doing it in the right heart, because that's ad hominem, you know, and that's what radio is. Though it's an occult medium, and yeah. But I would love to be in a room with Gary and just have a long, long Bible study. I think it would be a blessing to my heart. Anyway, thank you, Chris, for taking my extended call here. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Dave. And I think that would be great too. I would appreciate being a fly on the wall. And I don't think most people realize how vastly well read Dave is. You know, and speaking of everything that Dave said, I'm kind of reminded. I was lamenting yesterday. Maybe you have too. I kind of hate the internet age in a sense, because I don't know. Maybe folks who pass traditions on orally hate the Gutenberg project as much. I don't know. But the internet, because of the Orwellian nature of things to be memory hold so easily, really, you know, I guess what I mean is, in Marshall McLuhan, you know, medium is the message fashion, the internet seems to create a sort of weak, not as sturdy, not as rugged sort of character. It produces something that's more feeble, more kind of paper mache, if you will. Which is why it's unfortunate that we're losing so many of the folks that are so well read. I've mentioned several names in the past few weeks, and you know, you can't take that hard copy away from someone when it's there in print, in black and white, so to speak. Can't take that away. Things get erased. And I was convicted about, you know, I mentioned Wikipedia often as a way to say, look, even the most sanitized version of history, Wikipedia isn't a conspiracy. And if something is conspiratorial, it gets quickly scrubbed. But, you know, that's obviously a double-edged sword. So what do you do? I'm scratching my head on that. Anyway, to Dave's points, before we go back to the phone real quick, working my way back, it's true, I do agree that we need to sound the alarm and we need to guard one another. But first, I would say we need to define terms. We do have perhaps a greater responsibility, a Christian duty perhaps, to be more thoughtful and cautious in our approach, and intelligent. I'll explain when we come back, and we'll go back to the phones.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, yeah, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, I want to spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up.
Welcome back. We have calls stacking up, and I apologize, but this is important, and I think everyone can agree that there is a lot of intrigue and deception. I'm going to try to address this quickly in reference to Dave's remarks. I'm going to set aside the John 3:3 dispute. I don't quite understand that, Dave. Maybe we can talk about that later. The majority of Webster's 1828 entries have biblical references, which, you know, I'll just say is, I think, self-explanatory to our conversation. Hopefully what I said wasn't too controversial. I didn't mean it to be, just, you know, in context. Anyway, Dave referred to my the way I call it, pruning evil. You know, if you try to prune evil, all you're going to end up with is a more virulent strain of evil. And so that obviously is an allusion to Jesus' remarks in Matthew 7 when he said, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. And today in America, we keep hearing the call for reform, reform, reform. You know, the FBI, oh, it's corrupt from top to bottom. We need to reform it. The UN, same thing, you know. It needs to be reformed. NATO, we should get out now. We should reform it. Everything. But all you're going to wind up with is a more virulent strain of evil. Richard Sakwa's remarks kind of come to mind with regard to Jesus saying what he said in Matthew 7. And you could say it of all of these extra-governmental, extra-constitutional functionaries, you know, like Richard Sakwa said, you know, NATO exists to combat the threat created by its existence. Same with the UN, same with everything. And so pruning evil will not help. As far as the U.S. woman, Morgan Evenson, stabbed 14 times by Somali migrant, we need not to conflate terms. And that's what I meant by defining terms. In the same way that you could no more call a person running around with a white sheet doing bad things at night a Christian because they carry a Bible, maybe read it once in a while, nor can you call a person who adheres to a radical ideology, and everyone calls it that. I keep pointing to the Salafi movement on Wikipedia. Even, you know, the Saudis, the Imams, you know, Bandar bin Sultan, you know, the royal families, people in Saudi Arabia, they admit it's an ideology. Wahhabism, Salafism, it's not really a religion at all. Certainly not so much religion as an ideology. Certainly not the way that now this thing that has gotten legs as a result of Operation Cyclone in the late 70s going forward suddenly is kind of moving on its own. It's spreading on its own now. They've given it legs, so now they can sort of distance themselves, the Saudi royalty that is in particular, from this monster that is now sweeping the globe. That is not Islam. So think about all of the hearts we win by saying, you know, the Muslim community is terrified that Americans are so ignorant they can't make the distinction between radical Wahhabi ideologues and peaceful, devout Muslims. There is a distinction. And if you disagree, fine. Go into the communities. Find the mosques that are not Wahhabized, as Gerda Coleman would put it, which I think is brilliant, and show me the evidence. Sunni, Shia, whatever. Find me some mosque that's not radicalized by a Wahhabi, Salafi, Deobandi imam. That's probably an FBI plant anyway. You know, and we'll talk. But there are none. So Muslims, generally, I think, are terrified that Americans are too ignorant to make the distinction and that these terms have been conflated, and we want to call the Wahhabi ideologues, the radicals, Muslims, and they're not. We need to make this the distinction. And what is most unfortunate to me is the fact that this information has been around for ever, and yet here we are still having the same conversation. We'll go back to the phones when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health,
more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Welcome back. It was a grapevine, not a thorn vine. Anyway, so real quick, I'm going to cover this in detail tomorrow because this, you know, we should all know. So getting back to the headline, U.S. woman stabbed 14 times, real quick before we go to the phones again. Again, earlier this morning, I saw images on mainstream media of quote unquote ISIS 98% wiped out. Good news, right? No. Why? Well, what's the wellspring of ISIS? Wither the radical Islamists. The black flag of jihad is the Saudi flag. It's the same flag. It has the same creed on it. And so this PBS Frontline special that we were going to play clips from, Saudi Time Bomb, question mark. Again, originally aired 11-9-01, 8 weeks after 9-11. And it has all of that information in there, somehow strangely occluded from history. I'm telling you, it's all in there. How this whole thing works, I keep pointing to the fact that this is where the ideology comes from. If you don't nip it in the bud, if you don't pluck it out by the roots and cast it into the fire, as Jesus said, then what? Don't you find it ironic that J. Michael Springman pointed out that, you know, in this documentary, 8 weeks after 9/11, they point out it's an indisputable fact that 15 of 19 of the alleged hijackers were Saudi, including bin Laden himself. And as J. Michael Springman pointed out, they all received their visas from the CIA consulate in Jeddah in what he calls the U.S. Visas for Terrorists program. Isn't that – why didn't we – you know, why do Saudis get Western help in creating the, you know, the petrodollar and not Iran? Well, it's because Iran doesn't have Wahhabism. That's why. And so where do all of those petrodollars go? Well, that's what this documentary talks about. Right now in America, the Gulen Network is operating in charter schools all over the country. Sibel Edmonds and other folks are working to, you know, they were in Austin recently, I think, and protesting. Why are state government officials taking the delicious gifts of the Gulen Network? We have this problem in America. 60 Minutes even did a piece on it. This virus has infected America, and we don't even know what it is, let alone can we distinguish. Think about all of the hearts we would win. I've talked many times about the stories of Muslims protecting Christians around the world. Al-Shabaab stops a bus, and I believe that was Somalia as well, and they're loading people, they're offloading people from the bus, and Muslims are saying to Christians, here, put this on. And the, you know, the radical jihadis are trying to separate Christians and Muslims, and the Muslims are saying, no, we're not going to separate. Doesn't that do anything to your heart? Where are the Christians doing that for the Muslims, going, wait a second. Even if there are radicals in our midst, it's that kind of heart that wins converts, so to speak. Understanding is imperative. Robin Cook was right in his article the day after the London 7/7 bombings over at The Guardian. I'm going to talk about this more tomorrow. We're going to cover it in depth because I can't believe that this is not all just common knowledge. It should be. This is part of the lament that I mentioned in the first hour. Let's go back to the phones and grab William in Montana. William, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning, William. Sorry for the delay, everyone, but this is big stuff, well, you know?
Potent times, lots of energy flying around.
Yeah.
You know, the internet creates passive consumers, not thinkers. And it also doesn't create or encourage doers. I'm always amazed at, you know, how creates people, the more they become saturated by it, it creates people who think that the height of reason or the height of activism is like signing a digital petition or making a Twitter post. You know, that just shows the level of complete paralysis that this digital means and has created. You know, like yeah. What good does it do to protest these repressive measures and all of these incursions, these stomping on our liberties, when people's minds are being rewired to repress themselves?
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Doesn't that get back to the point that I was making at the opening of the first hour? You know, what are you doing about it? Well, I clicked three times. And Richie from Boston made a great point about that weeks ago in a video where he said, you know, nothing ever changed because you put your name on a list. In fact, that just made them, you know, the forces of evil be able to identify you and track you easier and better. Nothing good ever came from that.
So I think, you know, like when I think about this, I say, well, what do we do? What can we do? And I see developing and understanding what it means to develop a very aggressive process of opting out of these, you know, like digital anesthetizers. I mean,
yeah.
I see that as I don't see that as the end all, but I see that as the first step. You know, just to start thinking about that, what would it mean? What does it mean to opt out? You know, we kind of, you know, you got to be careful when you are warring with dragons and demons.
Yeah.
Lest you become one, because you start using the same methodologies. In fighting fire with fire, you end up burning yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes another type. It takes another type of awareness, but a type of disengaging from their choosing the methodology that we use to fight it. You know, we can't let the enemy choose the battlefield. I mean, if you're already at a great disadvantage when you allow the enemy to choose where you're going to fight. You have to have a more aggressive and intelligent approach to this. And you know, in that article, in that great speech by Patrick Henry, you know, he says, you know, how do these people get us off balance? Well, they say there's danger. There's
right.
dangers on the horizon.
And you were the one who brought that up recently, right?
Huh?
You were the one who brought it up recently, right?
Yeah. And you know, it goes on. And one of the things he says, well, if we're being attacked, you know, show us how we're being attacked. And, you know, what would I do if this was even true? You know, if it really is an independent, aggressive enemy, mm-hmm. and not just some fear that you've inculcated in our minds, you know, show it to me, and what would I do? I would depend upon the American spirit to defend us, not on rules and regulations and Homeland Security and TSA and all these surveillance systems that comb every person's emails and comments, public comments, to try to identify the enemy. You know, I will depend upon the American spirit to defend us, because as soon as you start trying to promote safety, to install mechanisms to ensure our safety, you're basically creating the very thing, the very tools that tyrants have used down through the ages, and that the tyrants, the internal tyrants, the tyrants that have taken over the government through deception, you know, those are the real present danger. You know, not some foreign imaginary, you know, terrorist group that is going to overthrow us. And so one of the interesting things that I think that came out in that speech was that he said, you know, like, well, you know, and this is very controversial, and you have to do a lot of thinking when you hear these words. But he said, you know, what do we do when we're faced with these dangers, external, if there are external, or internal? He said, unfortunately, nothing will preserve it but downright force.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you give up that force, you are inevitably ruined. And I like Dave's comment, and I understood what he said when he said, without becoming gunslingers. But, you know, unfortunately, tyrants don't respond to reason. You know, they never independently or on their own give up, you know, suppressing
right.
you know, the suppressed.
You can't reason with a terrorist. You can't negotiate with a terrorist.
We need to get them out of our minds, and then we need to be able to defend ourselves, you know, with force. Now, that's scary, but that's what he said at the end of that speech. Unfortunately, nothing
yep.
will preserve it but downright force.
Yep.
Whenever you give up that force, you inevitably are ruined.
Yep. And when I say that you can't reason with a terrorist, you can't negotiate with a terrorist, I'm not talking about the proxies. And that's another important kind of subpoint to what you're saying. We need to understand who the proxies are, because that's who we're basically looking at. Sock puppets or finger puppets, and bad guys are going, oh, look, exactly in the fashion that you're talking about, you know, alluding to Patrick Henry's speech at the Virginia Ratification Convention. And we need to understand what the proxies are, where they come from. When I'm talking about terrorists, I'm talking about the intriguers who create this kind of nonsense, that present these, you know, that manufacture these proxies and so forth, and pit, you know, play people off against one another, groups off against one another. Those, to me, are the real terrorists.
And he said that, you know, this is how tyrants have used this method of pointing the finger at the terrors on the horizon, the external terrors, while they go about, you know, usurping every liberty that you have. And that is the most dangerous, because people are it's very easy to induce fear. It's very hard to induce wisdom, and also from the next step to take that wisdom and responsibly use it to ensure the freedoms that we have to have.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate that we have to do this much homework, but, you know, I mean, like Dave's saying, genuine Christianity, it's the same kind of thing. Why do we would have to do that? Nesta Webster's words always come to mind. It is difficult to write of these things calmly, for to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them seeing whether they're being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch. And over and over, we see the same thing. The minute that we ignore the warnings of history, the minute that we ignore the warnings, for example, of Patrick Henry that we're talking about, the minute we take our eye off that precious jewel, for example, the minute we think we can trust someone, we turn away, and all of a sudden, artful designing intriguers are employing sophistry to manipulate language and words, and all of a sudden, we're led astray, essentially. And the theft occurs, and, you know, we're reminded once again that nothing but eternal vigilance will prevent that.
And dialogue and discussions like we're having now, so that people can, you know, ingrain these very basic principles in their heart, so that they can see this when it comes at, you know, local, in their face.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not all of our battles are national, you know. There are these local battles, and that's how we ensure the strength of the Republic, is for people to, you know, understand, you know, do your history, learn your history, understand very basic principles, even though you may think in this fast-paced world that's a tedious process. It's essential to our liberty. It's essential to our freedom. And it's essential to our awakening.
And you will be astonished time and time and time again how upside down and backwards we actually have things. One example I was trying to point to, obviously, in mentioning Patrick Henry's Virginia Ratification Convention speech, this one, there are others, but was the attack on purportedly Confederate monuments, and how ironic it is, considering, as we reflect on his words, people don't understand the concept. You know, we need to get rid of this stuff. And so even if it is bad, if we completely erase it from history, aren't we in danger of repeating the same mistakes? I mean, come on.
Well, that's
at the very least.
I mean, it's obvious it's a concerted effort to basically pull anything that can underpin our ability to stand up. I mean, they change our vocabulary, they change our history, they make us fight each other, they divide us, and worst thing they do is they get into your mind and rewire it.
Yep.
You know, that's the insidiousness. I mean, if you don't have the mechanism to reason and rightfully divide the word of truth, I mean, you're lost. You don't need armies. You don't need prisons. you know, once that has been destroyed. And that's why I say we've got to practice and understand what it means to opt out without throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, you know, yeah. What do we do? Do we stop listening to, looking on the internet? Do we stop having these over the phone conversations? No, but you have to be very strict consumers and not let things into your mind that destroy it.
Right, wise and discerning, and I would say you exercise what I would call a Christian liberty. Stick around, we'll be right back.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few...
Back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. William, you're absolutely right. They get in our minds, they get into people's minds and rewire them. This Confederate issue is a perfect example. You know, this attack. I mean, it's interesting that Memphis Mayor Jim Strickland orchestrated the hasty transfer of the two parks in question, since the city was not able to get rid of the monuments without basically the commission okaying it, which they didn't. So he engineered orchestrated the hasty transfer of the two parks in question to private entities, quote unquote. And then in the dead of night, they they removed the two statues. And that was one of the most recent instances of this attack on Confederate monuments. And we know that, you know, the flag controversy and so forth is, goes back a couple of years now, at least. And it's that kind of thing that you're talking about, you know, the people's minds being rewired. They are not, as you said, they're not critically thinking, not investigating further. Absolutely. Great points.
Henry, in that speech, you know, one of the things that it demonstrated to me was the fact that this wasn't, I feel, I think, I wish. It was very detailed analysis. Like, he didn't object, you know, based upon, you know, I feel that this is the worst thing. He said, you know, one of the problems with this consolidated Congress, which he doesn't understand why people didn't see this as a terrifying danger. He said, when you have a consolidated Congress, you know, like calling the shots, it's one big monstrous step removed from the state, you know, assemblies. And so he said, you know, if you see this happen, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to take charge of the standing army. And he said, you know, once you have a Congress, a federal consolidated Congress, in charge of the militias, you know, supplying them, training them, determining who's going to be their leaders, you know, you are giving the power of suppression to pure tyranny. And he said, you know, how are we going to punish them? You know, will they follow our orders not to suppress us? You know, like, you know, we see in Charlottesville and all over, you know, here you have these National Guards and these militarized police departments, and they are doing the work of tyranny. And do they follow our orders? Do they follow the local people's will? Absolutely not. And so he said, this is, you know, he said, he doesn't see why they don't see this just one monstrous step removed from the people. And he said, that's where the real liberty, that's where the real power, you know, that's how our country becomes great, is in the people's liberty and the people's ability to control their own lives. And so I see this as, you know, what do? We pretty much continue on with what we're doing, and maybe we up the game a little bit to say this isn't going to be turned around by some voting process.
Right.
It really is going to be turned around when people stand up and do not compromise with these insidious methods of deception.
Well said, William. My apologies to the other callers. Hopefully it was informative to you. I know it was to me. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
In the history of Western civilization, in the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants. And America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.